So this morning we come to the celebration in the church calendar of Pentecost. And it's always a great celebration. It's always a great topic to be able to talk about, to be a part of, in the sense of God filling that room. And, you know, you can imagine, you know, so last week we talked around how after Jesus went to be with the Father and he ascended, he said for them, you need to go to Jerusalem and you need to wait, okay? And in a few days, you'll get filled with the Spirit. A few days to me is three. After 3 days, I'm going, what's going on? But here we are 10 days later. And they're gathered all together. They're still there. They're still in that upper room. They're gathered together. And I don't know what they were doing. It doesn't tell us exactly what they were doing, except that they were all together. I don't know whether they were eating breakfast. I don't know whether they were actually doing morning prayers. But Pentecost was a time, was a festival that all the Jewish people, everyone came and gathered in Jerusalem as part of one of the big festivals. And so they came, everyone would come together from miles and miles. They would come and gather together. And Pentecost was originally, it was a celebration of when Moses gave them the law. Because Pentecost actually only means 50. So it's 50 days after they went into the promised land and that after Passover, when God passed over them and they were rescued and went through. And then 50 days later, Moses gave them the law. So Pentecost is just really about numbers. It was also a feast that would be around the festival. It was kind of a harvest festival in the sense that at the end of the wheat harvest and at the end of the barley harvest and before the wheat harvest, they would celebrate and they would wave loaves of bread before God as a celebration and thanksgiving. So there's lots of things going on here, but this has become for us in the church of today an incredible situation where God overruled all of those things. And they were in that upper room and there was the sound of a mighty wind. And there were tongues of fire that separated and settled on those people there. Probably about 120, fairly similar to what was in the room. And they were all together. And they started speaking in strange tongues. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little bit weirded out by that. Not only the sound of wind, it doesn't say there was a wind, it just says there was a sound like a wind. So it's like, man, what's that noise? What's going on outside? Oh, what do you mean, fire? That, like, oh, look at that. It's flying around, and look, Peter's got a little flamey thing sticking on top of his head. It was a real thing that happened. We make it into such a religious kind of thing that we forget that was real people in real lives. And they were experiencing this. And I can't say that I've ever experienced, you know, flames flying around. But there are stories around the Azusa Revival that there was like people could see flames around the building. Didn't burn the building just as well. So there was this incredible thing, and it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the promised thing that Jesus said, you will be filled, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked around that word baptizo, around how it's like a cloth being dipped into a huge container of dye and the cloth coming up a completely transformed color. About when you dip a cup into a vat of wine or liquid, and as you lift it up, it pours out over the top as it's completely full. That's the essence of the word, of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they went outside and they started talking these languages, and people could understand the wonders of God in their own language. It's like, I don't know how they got from in the upper room to outside, but I sometimes wonder, you know, logistics is quite a, I like logistics, I like sorting things out and getting things organized, and I'm going, who decided that that was going to happen? Or were they just so full of it that they're going, actually, yeah, let's, and they couldn't help but get outside and start telling everybody.
and they had probably had no control about, oh yes, I'm going to talk to this person in this language. I'm going to talk. They're probably just shouting out the wonders of God because they were so full of God. Does it make you wonder what they were actually thinking? Completely full of God, completely full of the Holy Spirit, that they went out there and people heard the wonders of God in their own language. See, in the big narrative, we've come to that part in the story where we talked about last week, whereas last week the baton was being passed on. Jesus was no longer in the room in that sense. But he said, it's your turn. And there's this incredible invitation to the disciples of the day to say, it's now your turn. But it's really interesting, later on in Acts chapter 2, because Peter got up and he explained to the crowds what was going on. The prophet Joel talked about this. He said, in the last days, I will pour my spirit out on men and women and children. I will pour out my spirit on slave and free, on Jew and Gentile. It's like, that's just wrong. If you're a Jewish person, that's wrong. Because we are the people of God. We're Jews. We are God's people. And woman, what's that about? The men are the most important thing in society. That's what it would have been. To have God speak through woman, what's that about? But God has freed everyone into that space. And later on, Peter carries on, he says, in explaining it all, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord, the God, will call. So this not only allows us to see the invitation of the disciples, but it gives us the invitation for all of us who are far off. Well, we're far off, just not just in distance, but in time. We are far off. But God invites us into that same act, that we are the ones now invited into being part of God's story. So you're part of God's story now. And part of that is that we have God dwelling in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that we together are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the ones where God dwells. And there's a sense of us being together that that's who we are. And not just us here at All Saints. We're not that special. But across the city, across the nation, across the world, everyone who bows their knee before the living God, we are invited into a story. And we are empowered to be a part of that story by God dwelling with us. It says later in 1 Corinthians 6, it says that when the writer of Corinthians is talking about some of the things that's not so good for us, and he says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So not just corporately, but actually as individuals. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place of God. So God dwells in us. I don't know about you, but if I really understood that and took a hold of that, I'd probably live a little bit differently at times. We need to look after our bodies because it's the place. We need to look after our souls. We need to look after ourselves because this is the place that God dwells. We have an invitation into the story. We are called to be the people of God, but he also says, it's all right, I won't leave you alone. I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. And out of that, we get the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, I've forgotten one, faithfulness and self-control. So we are joy. We get the fruit. That's what is the things that happen when we are full of God. We can't help that if we're full of God. Those things just ooze out of us. And you know, sometimes people say to you, what is it about you? You seem so peaceful, or you seem so whatever. And so that's the fruit of God when he dwells in us. And he also gives us gifts. But you know, sometimes I think it's a little bit like when you become a follower of Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit. I believe that. And Nikki Gumbel puts it in a way, and we went to an Alpha course yesterday and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. So that was quite helpful for me. He talks about how it's like having the pilot light on in a boiler or a gas oven. The pilot light is always on. But this was a time when God came and filled it. It's like turning the switch on and the heat comes out to fill the whole house with heating, if it's a radiator in the UK. We don't have so many in New Zealand. Or we turn the oven on and it gets heating. And it's like there seems to be two things that are going on here. That we always have God with us, but there is a filling of God. Ephesians 4 talks around being filled and keep on being filled. It's not something that we do as a one-off, but we do. Woo! It's nice to see you. Did you notice the time? So we are part of God's story. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And each one of us can be filled with God. It says in Luke 11:11, where Jesus said, if you are good fathers and you can give your kids good gifts, how much more would I, who are God, would give you the Holy Spirit? So we need to be acceptant of the fact that actually God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. God wants to dwell with us. God wants that. And so that invitation is really real to us. And so one of the things I want to do is I want to talk to you about a few of my experiences that I've had when I feel like God has filled me. When I was, it's before high school, so probably about 12, we had a youth camp at Brown's house. And I had two youth group leaders at that stage. One was a curate in Ashurst, and one was a, I don't know what Hank did. I don't know if he had a job. my youth group leaders, and they explained things of the Spirit and what it was to be invited into that space and for God to be able to fill us. And so as a bunch of young people say, yeah, we're into that. Let's give it a go. And they talked to us about speaking in tongues and prophesying and healing and all the gifts of the Spirit. And we go, yeah, we're into that. Bunch of young people who had no idea what was going on. And so we sat there and we got prayed for. My mate Mike next to me, he said, I so wanted to be able to speak in tongues that when he prayed for me, I spoke in French because I did French at school or something. But for me, God gave me the gift of speaking in tongues at the age of 12 or 13. And it's like, it was actually quite dramatic because I don't know what was going on. But you see, speaking in tongues isn't the only thing. It's kind of, I often get a little bit hung up on it. But not everyone speaks in tongues. It says that in Scripture. But we also started to prophesy over one another. And God would start to show us pictures and words and things, and we would be able to go, oh, I don't know if this is right or not, but when we were praying for you, I saw this picture of such and such. And someone else go, oh, actually, I had the same kind of idea. And now we were at Alpha yesterday, and we prayed for people in that space. And in our group, so many times somebody had a picture or a word or something that they felt like God spoke to them, and somebody else says, oh, it's funny you should say that because I just had the same kind of idea. And it happened time after time. Sounds like God, doesn't it? It's not something you can make up. And I don't know about you, but my logical mind really struggles with some of this stuff at times. Because I like to be in control and I like to understand what's going on. But you know what? When you move in the realm of the Spirit, you just don't know. You learn to trust. At one stage, we were praying for people again around just being filled with the Spirit and my friend Pete. And whenever we prayed for him, his whole body would shake. And he just shook. And he was like he was on a pogo. No one else did, just him. But you know what? His entire life was changed. And he changed, and he's just his openness, and he started walking the streets and talking to people about Jesus. There was something about when he got touched by the Holy Spirit that it changed the way that he lived. We talked a little bit yesterday around sometimes people feel when you invite Holy Spirit to fill you and some people sometimes feel pain in a certain part. And I've seen it that somebody's felt, like, all of a sudden I've just got this real pain in my shoulder and then you kind of ask the question, has anyone got a sore shoulder? And somebody says, oh yeah, I've struggled with my shoulder for the last 2 or 3 weeks and I can't get rid of the pain. And so we go, oh, let's pray for it. And so we prayed, and the shoulder was healed. And there's been many, many times that I've prayed for people for things like that, and nothing's happened at all. But you see, I have no control. It's not me, it's not us, it's God. But I want to say that I feel like God wants to invite us into a space where we start to delve into the impossibility. Because God is an impossible God. He is the almighty God. He is the creator of all things. Holy Spirit was there right at the very beginning. It says in Genesis 1, the Spirit hovering over the earth. Holy Spirit is the third part of God. And I don't understand the Trinity. I'm not going to try to give you an analogy that works because I don't understand it. But there is something about the presence of God that changes the way we live and changes the way we are. I was Carl and I went out for a cup of tea and a hot chocolate the other day, and Carl was just sharing how he feels like that for him and for Janet, there has been several occasions that God has completely healed them. And it doesn't mean that they're never sick again, but that's the power of God. That's what God wants for us. And it's getting the balance of having great theology, but also that we are to experience God. God wants us to experience Him. Brian Zand, in his book, When Everything's on Fire, one of his like climax chapters is around, excuse me, that if, I'll read you the quote. He says, if the Christian faith is to survive the tsunami of secularism, it will be because Christians have their own experience with God. Because we are all children of God, created in the image of God, we are all capable of experiencing God. The experience of God is a possibility inherent in our nature. Birds can fly, fish can swim, humans can experience God. It is possible to encounter, experience, and enjoy the God who created and loved us. And his book, When Everything's on Fire, is talking around how do we be the people of God in such a secular, non-Christian society. And he goes on to say that actually you need really good theology, but if you only have good theology and good thinking about God, you'll never stand to the end. But if you have that linked with an experience of God, that is the thing that will allow us to stand against everyone else speaking against us, knowing that we have an experience of God that fits with our good theology. So I guess what I want to do is I want to invite you. And we're going to worship a little bit more. We're going to have communion as well. But I want to invite you into that invitation, because it's not something that you demand. from God. But it's something saying, actually, God, I want more of that. I want to receive that invitation and step towards you and go, God, yeah, I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want you to be full amongst me. I want you to breathe your life in me. Because this is a living God who says, I will dwell with my people. So just before we move on, we're just going to pause. And I'm going to ask you, if that's you, if you want to say, actually, God, would you just fill me afresh today? I need something of your presence in my life now. Then I just want you, in your own head, to tell God that. Say, God, would you fill me afresh now? If it's helpful, put your hands open as a sign of just openness. It's quite good sometimes to actually do an act. And I know it's awkward and you often worry whether somebody might see you, whatever. It doesn't really worry me whether you would use your hands or not. It's about heart. It's about wanting more of God. It's about saying, God, I want you to fill me afresh today. I want to be someone who outworks your kingdom in my space. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity just to ask God to fill you if that's what you want. Holy Spirit, I want to ask, would you come and would you fill us afresh? Would you fill us to overflowing? Would you come and would you dwell with us as living God? Would you free us from the things that hold us back? Would you release new gifts and abilities to us? Would you release the prophetic amongst us? Would you free us? Would you fill us with your love and your grace and your peace? That we would know you. Often when God fills us, we do feel things. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Some people feel a sense of heat. Some people feel kind of jittery inside. Some people feel nothing. It's actually okay. It's having an attitude saying, God, I want you to fill me. That each day we would ask. So most mornings I would wake up, one of the first things I say is, Holy Spirit, would you fill me afresh today? Would you be full in my life so that I can be the man of God that I'm called to be? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us afresh? Would you fill us to overflowing? Would you release gifts amongst us? So one of the things that we've just tried to encourage is around before services, we ask, we've got a group who sit together and pray, and they feel like if there's things that God shows them, then we want to share those things. So we're going to go through communion, and after that we will have a time where as you take communion, then over each side of the hall this morning, there'll be opportunities for you to get prayer, that you could have someone to stand with you. We'd have someone to particularly pray that God would fill you, but you may have some prayer needs as well around healing or different circumstances. Interesting. Larry came and saw me this morning, something we've been praying about for a while, and he said, the answer's yes. That's, I believe that's because we've been praying. Because we've been asking God into that space, and then the impossible happens. So here are, you know, four things that they've felt as the team prayed this morning. One around if people have tinnitus, we'd love to pray for you that God would free you from that. There was another picture of cornstarch and around something, the whole idea of contemplating setting up a new venture and you're not quite sure what that might look like. We'd love to pray with you this morning. Someone else feeling like they're in a situation where it's like being a tree in winter and asking the question, when will the spring come? And the song, which is interesting because it's one of the ones we're going to use for communion. Just the words, are you hurting and broken within? Jesus is calling you. So if one of those things means something to you, can you just make a note of that when you come and take communion and go to the side so that people can pray specifically? And I encourage every one of you, if nothing else, just come, and as we come and gather together, and as you take communion, to go to the side and just get someone just to pray that God would fill you with the Spirit, that God would be close to you, he would fill you with his love, that you would feel his love today, that he would know, that you would know his hand on your life. So Matt, I wonder if we can just get the team up, and we're just going to sing, and as David prepares us for communion as well. But just stay in this mindset of allowing God to fill you as we sing. Allow God to fill you as we go through communion. Allow God to I guess, overwhelm you. Just to allow the fullness of God to be full amongst us.
Bring your son.